Hi, welcome to Glad Tidings. Today, we have a special guest, Pastor Victor Lee, bringing the word. We pray that this word encourages you in your faith.
Good morning, church. So thankful to all our pastors and the leadership of the church for this kind invitation. Bringing greetings from Bible College of Malaysia, BCM. We are really thankful for your support and your prayer and your financial support that we are able to do what we do today to prepare lives for ministry. The pandemic have not slowed us down, so we are now having more than 700 students studying with us every year. So give thanks to God, for God is doing great things still in the midst of all this pandemic. So wonderful to see all of you. I just sense in this service in particular a very strong presence of God. God might be shifting some mind tonight, today. God is doing something perhaps deeper that we will envision or anticipate. I just want to honor what God will do. Just spend a minute with me in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your holy presence, for your spirit that is at work among us now. Even as we offer you songs of praise and worship, we sense your presence this morning. And God, we surrender ourselves to you, our will, our mind, our life. Then may you speak to us now, O God. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful memberships that have joined the church. We also, Lord, continue to seek of your presence. Be upon all these new members. God, speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't usually do this, but when I do it, I mean it. That God's maybe doing something deeper. This morning, I'm going to speak to you concerning multi-generational blessing. I come from a very old church, First Assembly. Some of you may know that place, Pudu. Chinese call that place Wai Sek Kai, the place where you find food. Not as good as it used to be. Things have changed a lot. But it's not in the jail area. Some people think we are in Pudu jail. No, it's quite far away from there. This is one of the oldest Assemblies of God church in Malaysia. We are going to celebrate 90 years old soon. Praise God. We want to talk about multi-generational blessings today. The church leadership have been debating over the years which strategy is better. Should we have a homogeneous church whereby we have the same culture, the same age group, and everything same to be more effective reaching out to that same particular group? Or should we have a more diverse, multi-generational, multicultural church? So which one will work better? Of course, there's pros and cons in both of this area. But I think it's important for the church to take note that God's vision for the church has always been multi-generation. Before we go into the Bible itself, I just picked something up from a business article by Eric Larson in Forbes. And in his research, that company with diversified, inclusive teams makes better decisions up to 87% of the time, twice faster with half the meetings, and 60% better results in those companies. Of course, that will hit a larger segment in terms of the business world. But when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the church, it's not an issue of just which one is more effective of getting the results that we want. Of course, we know having different ministry age group have its own benefit. But it's important for the church to remember the very vision that God has given to us as His people. How should that vision look like? I bring us all to Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 says, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations." All future generations. God's covenant with human has always been not just for one particular generation or two generations, but for all future generations. It means that the vision of God's community, the people of God, should include all generations, not just one slice of it, not just the older one, not just the younger one, but all the generations. They are part of the community of God. The second passage I bring to you today is Joel chapter 2, verse 28. This is a passage that we Pentecostals often say this is referring to us. We are the end time people of God. We are the people whom Joel was speaking at. And let's hear what Joel was talking. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." In that vision, you find both old and the young, male and female, everyone is included in that vision. All of us will be filled by the Holy Spirit. It's not just one group of the people, but everyone in God's community will be filled by the Spirit to dream dreams, to see vision, to see the things that God will do in the last days. And so that includes you and me. Everyone here, from all the different generations, we shall see the works of God in our lifetime. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, this is the word of the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. And he says this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Apostle Paul says that the glory of Christ in the church, in Christ, is for all generations. And so in God's divine plan, God's blessing is expected to flow not just in one generation or two, but all the generations. I'm so glad that I am saved in a Christian family. I'm a third generation Christian, worshiping in that same old church, First Assembly. My grandparents, my grandmother is still around. She's 99 this year. Praise God. She gets to see the joy of playing with the great-grandchildren. Not many people got that chance to play with great-grandchildren. We are still in that same church. My grandmother, my parents, myself and my wife, and now my children, fourth generations, worshiping the same church. First Assembly of God, Kuala Lumpur. I'm not to brag about the church, but say the church is nothing like fancy, but what I'm trying to say is we truly see the faithfulness of God in our family. Having all the generations in the church portray the visible vision of God's faithfulness in our lives. When people look at the church, they say, "Oh yeah, you have a very old church." But it's not just old. You see the middle age, you see the younger people, all of them are worshiping God together. And that has been the vision of God for eternity. God's people are for all the generations. And it is a blessing to have all the generation in a church. Why? The older ones, they have the wisdom to contribute. They are the model. They are the sage that we can look up to, people that we can see how they've gone through life and remain faithful to God. You have the adults, the young adults and the middle age who are resourceful. They are able to help. Not only that, they can lead and they can provide. You have the young who are energetic, they are youthful. They can help the church by bringing the activities and the creativities into the church. And you have the children. Don't forget the children. The children Jesus loves so much that through their simplicity, they show us the purity of faith in the kingdom of God. Every generation is needed in the church, and God will flow His blessing for throughout all the generation. Everyone has a role to play. That has been the vision of God. However, we do find there's a problem today, that many churches struggle with getting the generations together. This is not just a one church problem, it's a global phenomenon. Not just in the church, even in the corporate sector, you find that companies, business owners are struggling with the different generations. One of the possible reasons for this is because, for whatever reason, the generations start building walls against one another. The generations from different generations start to look down towards the other generation. Some of us begin to think that we are better than the other generations. It works both ways. The older one thinks the younger generation useless. Can't do much. Ask to do some things, cannot complain so much. Can't take it. Back in all those days, when I was doing this, you don't know, I drive here, drive there, I do this, do that. I never complained. I was so submissive. Young people today, ask them, do a little bit. I'm so tired. Depressed, that's a common word we say here, right? Somehow the wall has been erected. Now the same goes with the young people. The young people say, these old people, this is so demanding. Don't they realize our quality of life is affected? Don't they realize that we need work-life balance? Don't they know that there's a greater awareness of emotional health? Nothing wrong with that, by the way. They don't understand the struggle. But in those days, they don't have internet. They don't have social media. They don't have Facebook. They don't have, or maybe some of them have Facebook already, but they don't have Twitter. They don't have Instagram. To them, life is simpler. Today, the world is so complex. They don't understand the struggle that I'm going through, the likes that I need for my social media. It's different. The affirmation that they get is very different from the affirmation that we seek today as young generation. And with that, walls are being erected because we think that we are better than the other generation. Worse still, some think that we are better off without the other generation. If only they are not here, we can do things faster. Right? If only they are not here, it's all right. We can proceed with whatever plans that we have. All these old people don't understand our plan, our visions. They are the stumbling block to our growth. I hear that quite a lot, right? Same thing, vice versa. If only these young people were better off. It's okay, we don't need them. We have built the generations. We are the generation of builders. We have pioneers. We have built everything from scratch. So we can do it again. We don't need the next generation. There are people who begin to think like that as the wall have been erected. Walls between the generation. And for us as a church, I think it's dangerous for us to start to think that we can do church without any other generation except ours. Yes, I fully agree with you that in the church there needs to be having different age group ministry. Yes, we all understand that, right? You don't expect an older person to behave like a young person, to reach out to the young. It's not easy. It's difficult. In fact, you shouldn't do that. So I always find very strange, some pastors, they're trying to reach out to the young one, but they are already in their 60s, behaving like a 20s. It's dangerous. In fact, it's quite ugly. Don't do that, please. Just be at your age, it's fine, The young generation do not need you to pretend to be young. You are not young. Just accept that that's a fact, right? But it's important that we have this right understanding that the church is never designed for just one generation. We need all the generations. And today we want to break this wall down. We want to really bring all the generation back to the church. Question is how? How do we do that? Let me submit to you from the scripture three things we can do to work out a multi-generation church. We want to build a strong church according to the vision plan that God has given to us, consists of all the generation. Number one, the first thing we need to do is this: recognize that there is room for every generation. Recognize that this church is open to all and everyone is needed here. The local church that we have is a representation of God's community to the world, God's people to the world. And therefore, it has to be inclusive. God, Jesus Christ, came to this world, did not just die for the old, nor just the young, but for all people. And when the church is only of one particular generation, it's hard to reflect the inclusivity that God has for the salvation plan. God wants all people to be in the church so that it reflects to the world that God's love is for all generation. And therefore, the church should be united with all the generation, all who believe in Jesus Christ. And when the church begins to embrace all the generations, this also reflects the call of God. As we have read just now in Genesis, God's covenant is made for all future generations. Those days, there were some churches who go with this ethos. We are a young church movement. We are a youth church. And today, they are no longer youth. Sooner or later, we will grow old. Sooner or later, we will meet the Lord. If the Lord tarries, we will meet Him without this body. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm simply saying we will soon die. That's the blunt way to say it. But that's the reality, isn't it? All human. Unless Jesus comes back in our lifetime, we will face death. And the church will grow older and older. That's the fact of life. And so the sooner we embrace that, the better it is to see that actually God's call is for not just one generation, it's for all future generations. And therefore the church needs to have all the generation included. Both old and young in the congregation is needed. I told you just now, I came from a church with four generations, some with five generations, I heard. And that is a powerful witness to the world. When we talk about God's faithfulness, what is the one way to visibly show that? And when we have all the generation in the same church, worshiping together, I think that is really a right presentation of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is not just to you. He's also faithful to your children and also to your children's children. That's how powerful it is to have the visual impact in the society. Every time I go back to my church, I'm always encouraged, not because I see my friends, but I see both the old and the young working together, praising God together, raising hands together, praying for the lost together. That itself, the visual impact of that itself, is an encouragement for the future generation. The young people need to see that God is working in all generations. It is not enough just to talk about it. We need to show it. When all the generations are involved in the church, that itself is a powerful testimony, a witness to the world that God is indeed faithful. No one is too old, no one is too young to be part of the church. I want to request you to do this exercise now. We want to recognize there's room for every generation. It begins with our perceptions. Today, do you recognize that in your church, you will have all the generations? Have you come to visualize that in your own spiritual eyes? Can you see that Glad Tidings will be a church of all generations, from the oldest to the youngest, and all worshiping together, four, five, six generations perhaps, if the Lord allows, and some get, you know, super healthy with all the medical signs, and we get to see all the generation worshiping God together? Can you see that? I would like you to just close your eyes for a moment and begin to visualize, begin to see, and ask the Spirit to help us. God, how would that church look like? How would Glad Tidings look like? With all the generation worshiping together, ministering together, helping one another. The older one giving advice. They are there, though they are weak, but they are still strong in the Spirit. The middle-aged people who are leading the church, they're contributing their resources. The younger ones, they're youth, they're creative, they are driving the church forward with more younger people coming in. The children are worshiping together, bringing the testimony of the purity of faith. Can you see all the generations in your church? Visualize that, my friend. Visualize that. Allow the Spirit of God to work among us. Some of us are still stuck with that mentality that we don't need this generation or that. The first thing that we need to break is this mentality. We need to see all the generations in this church.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Let's get back to the Word.
Spirit of God, we ask you, Lord, to imprint that vision that we have seen now into our heart. We ask, O God, that you begin to work it out in this church, in Glad Tidings, that the church will be filled not just with one or two generations, with all the generation, four, five, six generations of Christians worshiping together, portraying the faithfulness of God both to the members of the house as well as to the world. That God, you are faithful. You are indeed faithful. We can see, oh God, how you will use every generation to bring your blessing into this church, into this community. Lord, no one is ignored. Everyone is contributing something, and everyone is part of this church. Lord, help us imprint that, seal that vision in our hearts today, oh God, as we begin to pursue that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Seal that word, seal that spirit vision in our hearts now. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope that that vision keeps strong in your heart. That is the first step. We need to first acknowledge we need each other. We need all the generations. The second thing we will do is this. As we acknowledge that, as we recognize that there is room for everyone, then we need to start expecting each generation to play their roles in the community. Every generation has their unique challenge, has their unique gifts. Why? Because every generation, they are given a different context, a different environment to live. I mean, just think about it. Those of you who are in your 80s or 90s, perhaps you have been through wars. You have been through the racial problems in our country. You have at once tried to run for your life, literally. But the younger generation have no clue about all these things, including myself. I've never been through any wars. I've read about it in history. That's all we know about wars. My grandma been through wars, Japanese occupation. She been through that. And even today, she got a bit of problem with Japanese. Really. She still have that grudge, you know. Can't help it. You ask some of the older generation, they will tell you the story, how they have witnessed with their eyes, how they have run away. And those days, my whole family left and went to Kuala Pilah to try to hide, you know. And to them, pandemic is nothing, lah. You know, this pandemic that we go through today, they say it's so good, what? You can stay at home, so nice. That's all you do, right? Just stay at home. My grandma says, what's the problem? So what's the problem? Those days, you know, how difficult, you know. Those days we eat, you know, nothing except, you know, the things that we plant in front of us. What else can you plant except potatoes? That's all we eat. They have gone through a different environment. But that's the same thing to other generations, like the young generations. Like, our generation is very different. Like my generation, I'm now 38 this year, not too old, neither too young. I call this my generation the sandwich generation. Both sides is asking us to do something. Right? The old one say, yeah, you help the young. The young say, hey, tell the old. So we are sandwiched in between. Our generation, when we grew up, we have learned a little bit of technology. Right? We didn't grow up with technology available to us, the high-tech thing that we see today. But that's the starting point. I still remember I used to have a computer that takes the disc so big, you know, the black color disc. Some of you know that, the black color disc, right? And that only takes a few bytes, you know, not even megabytes. It's a very funny thing, very big thing. When we watch TV, we go for VHS. Do you know what's VHS? The tape. Some of you don't know what is that. What tape are you talking about? It's a tape. And there's literally a tape. And we have to put the tape into the player. Then only we can watch. And sometimes the thing will spoil. So you can see flickering things, you know, in the video. We've been through that, huh? The different generation, I've been through that. And some of you may know this thing called DOS. How many of you know DOS? Then you know their age already. DOS is an operating system. Some of you can't even imagine. Operating system like Windows, like your Mac OS, but those days it's called DOS. And the thing that we do is just coding, and everything is black and white, if not some just monochrome color. There was no such thing as mouse that you have today. I still remember when my aunt, she was working in a corporate company, and they first introduced mouse to her. She was so scared. Hey, I'm scared of mouse. How can you use mouse? Oh, yeah, she is a device. Oh, like that. And how many have you experienced this? When she was using her mouse, she reached the end of the mouse pad. No? Then you still want to go further, so she take another paper and start moving. Have you been through that? Anyone did that? Some of you did that. Finish already. I need to go further down. How? Take a book. She didn't know can take up. No? Those were the time we were still learning, right? Fast forward, the younger generation, those who are in their early 20s, they grew up with technology. It's a totally different environment. They grew up with social media. Getting Facebook like is older generation thing. Now it's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that shows you are not that age group anymore. It's a very different environment. And so each of this environment present to you a different set of crises, as well as different sets of opportunities. You get to learn different things. The older generation, because they've been through wars, they've been through all this hardship, their life is strong, sturdy. When you talk about being stable, able to push through things, you see the builders' generation are able to do that. No problem, we have built it before. Building up from scratch, what's the big deal? We have gone through it around again a few times. We have been through financial crisis. What else have we not seen before in life? The older generation have gone through those crises, and it presents this opportunity for them to grow, to face those challenges. And then the Middle Ages people, the younger generations, we are not in that generation. We have not been through those difficult times. But our sense of problem will be very different. We live in a world that is super connected. Anything that you say today will blast out into the whole world. You know, those days when we talk about sermon preaching, we preach something wrong, don't worry, they will forget about it. After a week, they won't remember. Today, if I preach something wrong, it is on YouTube. Forever, it will be there. They will hold me accountable to what I say. It's a very different environment. Young preachers today are super stressed. People like us, you know, oh, we must make sure we say things carefully, right? Because it's a very different environment. A very different set of environment present different set of crises, but also because of that, different set of opportunities. Young people are very tech savvy today. They can do things very fast. And so it is reasonable why many young people will say, we want to do things smart. Have you heard this phrase before? Let's do things smarter. No need to meet so long, you know, we can do things faster, more efficient. Well, they say that because of the technologies, of the things that are being produced that enhance work performance. So it is part of the society that we are growing into. Each generation has their own unique challenge, but that also presents a unique opportunity for them to learn. And with that, that is why we need all the generations. We need the contributions of all those generations, what they have learned, what they've been through, and the lessons of their life that will enrich and bring the church stronger, mature, and so forth. I bring you the word of Apostle Paul here in Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 15. It's a rather long passage, but bear with me. This is a very important passage. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 15, Apostle Paul says this, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slave to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so to train the young women to love their husband and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husband, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respect to be model of good works. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opportunity may be put to shame, have nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters. In everything, they are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not filtering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, purifying for Himself a people for His own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Now, this is the word of the Apostle Paul to Titus. Titus was becoming a pastor, and the advice given for Paul was to deal with all the generations, both men and women, older men, older women, younger men involved, including slaves. Because in God's vision, every part of the church, all the slices of the society, they are to work together. Ultimate goal is this, as what Paul says, so that the church will grow up holy, renouncing of worldly passion, live up an upright and godly life. In other words, the goal is spiritual maturity. When all the generations work together, we are not just here to just have some fun and do some intergeneration activity and just play some games. No. It is a serious business. It is a spiritual thing where we bring the generation together, because ultimately, when the generations come together and model faith to one another, we will achieve what Paul says, spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. We want the church to grow, to be strong, mature, firm, able to stand on their faith despite of the current in the society. And therefore, every generation are needed. I want to go through one generation by generation just to show you how God has blessed you with different gifts and talent. To the older generations, those who are you in our 60s above, right? 16 and above, God has blessed you with experiences. God has given you the time spent on earth, going through the ups and downs. You have been through all the different stages of life. Some of you have got married, you have children, if not grandchildren as well. You have seen it all. You have seen how the church grow, how the church have struggled. You have seen the reality that we face. You know, some people think about church is always angelic, everybody is happy and good. No, you have seen the ugly side as well, as things have, you know, happens in the church. You have been through it, and yet you have remained faithful. You have that gift of experience that the young people like us are still starting to discover. You have much to contribute. The danger with the older generation is that if you're not able to be secure in your life and still finding security from other generations, you have problems. There are older generations, people from the older generations becoming bitter, still dwelling in their past regret, fail to come out from their past hurts, unable to live in their presence. Some of them have hopes and dreams that they hope to achieve, but they did not live up to that, and they're living in that bitterness. I pray, oh God, that if you are such a person, God will deal with your heart today. Unlock your heart from this change of bitterness. Free you from the past and begin to live in the present. What God has brought you through, whether the good or bad or the ugly, is still part of a process in a journey with God. Everything will be turned to become beautiful for those who love Him. I want you to accept and embrace even the painful past that you've been through, the hurt, the condemnation, accusation they've been through. I want you to embrace that, because the Lord Jesus have embraced it all. And yet still, the Lord Jesus have overcome it as a model for us. And His grace is sufficient for you, my friend. No one have lived a life that is without worry and trouble. Everyone on earth has their own issues and troubles. And sometimes when we go through that pain, we think we are the only one who've been through it. No one understands us. I pray, O Spirit of God, will open your heart today that you begin to receive that healing that frees you, and so that you'll be able to stand with the other generations, not as one who just complain and murmur about the things of the past, but begin to envision a better future with your younger ones. I pray that God will begin to shift that perspective in your heart, that you become a person who is mature, using the experience that you've been through to be wise. I call these people the sage in the church. You know, the sage, right? The wise men and wise women. Even though you don't feel like one, you are actually one, because you have been through that life experience. That is so precious. A young person like me can study all I want, get all the PhD, but when it comes to parenting, I still need to ask my mother. Right? Because we have to rely on the older generations for their wisdom. Now, when it comes to the Middle Ages, those who are in their 50s and 40s, late 40s, you are blessed with stability. You have walked through life, but not as far as those who are older generation. But at the point where you are now, you are really established. You have family, you have career, you have resources, you have networks, you have reputations, and you are still at your prime age. Recently, I have a board member of our school. He is a financial planner. It was on BFM talking about finance. And one of the things that he highlighted was this. There was this movement in the early days called FIRE. Have you heard of this movement called FIRE? Financial Independent Retire Early. He said that is actually a nonsense kind of movement, because if you're able to achieve financial independence, you shouldn't retire so early. That shows that you're competent, you're good, you're able to do what many people couldn't do. And why you retire so early? The world needs you. We need more competent people who can do the jobs, who can get things done, who are productive. And so my urge for all of us is that for those of you who are in the middle age, I think some of you are planning with that angle to retire early. Please don't. In the kingdom of God, there's no retirement, by the way. The only retirement is you meet the Lord. That's your retirement. We will retire in a sense, stopping from your usual job, yes, you know, getting away from your marketplace, yes. But in the church, all of us will continue to serve God. Even when you reach your prime age, 50s or 60s, this is your best time. You have all the resources. You have built your networks. Use that to bless the community of faith. And finally, to the younger generations, my young generation is quite big of a gap, 40 and below, so that I can include myself. The young generation, we are blessed with youthfulness. A youthfulness is a gift that many try to maintain with pills and cream. But reality shows us you cannot be youthful all the time. Age will soon catch up. That's the reality of life. But God has given us the younger generation with energy, with vitality. Yes, we are naive. We are innocent. We don't know many things. Rightly so. But that is also the blessing. Because we are naive, we will come up with all sort of wild ideas. Ideas that the older generation don't even thought of it, don't even think about it. When I served in Bible school, I was a lecturer at first. At the age of 32, I was appointed to be the president of the college. At that time, I was the youngest in my team. All my staff are older than me. The lecturers that we have, they were my lecturer when I was a Bible school student. So can you imagine? I'm now their president. It is a tough job, I would say, really. And being young, what are we supposed to do? We give ideas. And that's what you expect a young people will do. They will give a lot of ideas, tell you this and that, da, 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 da. Right? Rightly so. If your young people are not giving you ideas, you better be careful. Something is not right. But when a young person speaks, I'm very thankful for my team. Though they are much older than me, yet one thing I appreciate them is that they truly listen. When I come up with all sort of weird and crazy ideas, they don't reject it straight away. They listen. They give me room to express. And rightly so, when we do new things, you get new results. You get things that in the past they never had before. The numbers of today have changed and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is, young people, we are gifted with creativity. You're given the energy, the muscle. I don't have much, but you all have more. These are the things that we can contribute to the church. Do not say that you have nothing to do in the church. God has given every generation a role to play. And each generation must take responsibility to be a contributor and not a troublemaker. I need to see myself. I'm coming to the church as a young generation. I want to be a contributor. I don't want to just to complain and murmur about the older generations. I want to be part of them. I want to listen. I want to help, contribute. So we need to have this perspective. Each generation, play your own role in your church. And as all the generations begin to engage, that's where you see the church will go strong, mature, as what Paul says here. Now, quickly coming to the third area. But still, how do we really get things work, right? I want to contribute, but I have this problem, this generation now. When I do this, they don't want me. I think the third thing we must embrace is this skill called listening. Everybody say listening. Are you listening now? Okay, good. I thought some of you are playing games. Listening is so important. In this household code that we have just been through just now with Titus, Paul taught the community of God, the church, needs to practice submission. The older submitting to one another, the younger submitting to the older one. And to practice submission, one must learn how to listen. Good listening is required. What happened now in the church, as well as in a society, is that people are not practicing good listening skill. They are pretending to listen, like some people do. They are there, but they are not there. You get what I mean? And it's a very real thing. When a young people is talking, and an older person is there, an older person may pretend to listen. Say all you want, but you don't know anything. Right? There will be prejudices. There will be some presumptions that you already have. And to a certain extent, you start giving names to the generation. Do you know that the young generation is called strawberry generation? You know why they're called strawberry? Because you just smash, they're gone. Very weak. See, the moment you have all these names, you know, assumptions, prejudices, it's hard for you to listen. You need to remove them and to be able to listen empathically, openly, and to hear them, what they are trying to say. The same with the young ones towards the old. When the older person speaks, a young generation may have the same thing. We have the prejudice. This old man don't know what he's talking. He's still living in his archaic age. He doesn't know what the world have changed. He doesn't know this and that. And the moment we have that same posture that we know better, they don't know anything, then we are not really listening. For the generations to work, we need to practice good listening skills. And to do that, we need to remove our prejudices. Listen with an open heart. Seek first to understand, not to judge. And see others as a blessing, not as a curse, not as a stumbling block. Let me end with this example of mine. In our church, I am the one that has the PhD in theology. It's a big deal, by the way, in case you don't know that. Not to brag, but it's not easy to get. But when I go back to my church, I submit to my own pastor. My pastor does not have all this high degree. Of course, he's not too bad, masters. Still get a master's, yeah. Not putting down him, I'm just saying, yeah. Some of you are like, oh, okay. What I'm trying to say is that when I go back to my church, yes, I may have all the qualification, but in the church, I'm a child. I'm their children. I'm still young. And when I listen to them, yes, sometimes I don't agree. I've been through many places. I've all the exposure that many people did not get. But I have to tell myself to open my heart and suppress my prejudices and to see this person telling me as something worth listening. It requires effort from my part. And the same is expected to you, to others. It's easy for us to say, oh, what do you know? You have not been to this circumstance, you have not been to that, you do not have the knowledge, you have not been the training, you have not gone through this degree and that degree. My question back to you is, so what? You've been through all that, you've gone through all that, but the Lord has placed you in this place. The Lord has put all these people around you. There must be a reason for that. And in the old Jewish way of saying, the God of Israel, He passes down the knowledge of God from one generation to another. Whether you like it or not, that is the order of creation. And God has put it into the church. And when we begin to respect that and when we begin to take full control of that and learn to embrace the generation and listen, you will benefit from it. Yes, when I'm back to my church, yes, I may not necessarily get a lot of theology, right? A lot of doctrinal teaching, debates, you know, some of these things, yes, I'm better off, but they have other things to speak to my life. They have shown me examples of how a faithful husband should be. That's how I learned being a husband from my pastor, from my father. How to be a good husband, how to be a good father, how to be a good Christian, how to be a good pastor. You'd be surprised, some people think, oh, Victor, you have been through so many things. You have been through all this ministry. You should be the one who's teaching. Yes, I know, but there's just so much that I don't know. If only we practice humility and recognize that we are just insufficient. We are not everything. We don't know many things. And in life, especially in the complexity of life, the older ones, they are the examples. They are gems. The life that they've been through and their faithfulness, that cannot be replicated in the classroom or the library. That is something that we should take advantage of, to take them precious. The same with the young ones. When the older generation are dealing with the young ones, we see this young one not as some young chiku, you know nothing, and just brush them aside. Worse still, don't do this, please. This is something I warn you. Please don't do this. Don't dump everything to the young people. I sit in many councils and many meetings. And one of the things that often happen is, there's Victor. He's the youngest. He can do everything. Come on, I'm young, but I'm not Superman. Neither am I God. I cannot do everything. The young people are here. They are here to contribute, yes. They will eventually take over the leadership, yes. But don't exploit them. Nurture them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. When I go back to my church, back in those days when the elders were still around, she's no longer here, she's with the Lord. Every time I go back without fail, she will tell me, Victor, I have been praying for you. I've been praying where you are going, the places that you've been to. I've been praying for you. The success of my ministry today, I always say this, it's not because of how good and smart I am. I'm not a smart student, by the way. I failed the Bible quiz 3 times. My students, those of you who did Bible quiz, I failed 3 times. I'm not a very smart student. But the result of my ministry is because of the people in my church, the elders, the older people. They may not be traveling with me, they may not be going here and there, but every time I have a problem, they will listen. They will share their prayer with me. And that is so important. So today, my encouragement for all of us is that come back to the vision that God has given to us. We need all the generation in the church. Everyone is important. both the old and the young. We have differences. Our culture will be very different. So learn to embrace, learn to listen, remove our prejudices, be completely secure in your present time. Don't compare yourself with the younger, neither should the younger compare to the older. Each of us are unique. And when we begin to put ourselves together, all the generation, there is where you see the blessing will flow. Can I ask all of us to stand and begin to respond to God's word? I want to begin by asking, giving you this opportunity. For some of us here, perhaps you are new to the church, you're new to this place, and you've been hearing this Victor, this guy, been talking about family, and God has been blessing the family, and you think, yeah, I want that. I want to be part of this church. I want to be part of God's plan and to receive all this blessing. But if you have not yet believed and decided to believe in Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity. If you want this opportunity, I want to pray along with you. May I ask all the church people, all those who are here, please close your eyes. We don't want to give any kind of pressure to those who are new. But if you are new, you want to believe in Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity. You say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my family. I want all the blessing of God in my family. I want to give my family back to Christ, to Jesus. If you want it, you want us to pray with you, I just ask you to kindly do this gesture. Raise your right hand. Just raise your right hand. If any one of you would need someone to pray with you, you say, I want to believe in Jesus. I see someone there in the right. Yes. Can I ask the pastors and the leadership of the church to just go to the person now rather than they coming up front? Because I see one hand there. Yes. Just raise your hand higher. May I ask the leadership of the church, cell group leaders, just go there and just be with this person. Anyone else, just raise your right hand. All right. There are people there with you now. Very good. There's one behind, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Those of you who have raised your hand, just join me with this prayer. Just join me. And the rest of the church also join me with this prayer. Let's pray together and say, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your grace. You have died for me. Your blood cleansed my sin. I repent from my past wrongdoings. I commit myself to you. I commit my family to you. May Jesus come into my life. May Jesus come into my family. I am now a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. And when you make that prayer sincerely, Jesus hears your prayer. But I would like to encourage you after this to get connected with the people in this church and ask them, I need more prayer. Because it's a journey. This is just the starting point. And for the rest of the congregation, I would like you to do this. We did that in the first service. I will do this, the same thing here. I would like all those who are... We want to pray for the older ones first, okay? Those of you who are in your 60s and above, right? If you can... Okay, it can be a bit sensitive, huh? Okay, better don't raise hand. Okay. Those of you youngest, 59 and below, if you see someone around you that you think they are older, can I ask you to just go there and just lay your hand upon the person? We want to bless the older generation. We want to appreciate their works. We want to see that all the things that they have contributed are not in vain. And we want to encourage them. Just go to someone that you think is older. Move around all the younger ones, please. You have the youthfulness. Please don't tell me you are so weak you can't even walk, okay? Move around. Just go to someone that is older, right? Just lay your hand upon the person, right? If you can, just help me with that. And we will pray together. Don't worry. Some of us here may not have people laying on hands. It's fine. But if you can, those who are younger, just move around. Just lay your hands upon the young, the older generations. We want to appreciate them. We want to pray God's blessing over them. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope that this message has encouraged or inspired you to live a victorious life. Remember to subscribe to our Spotify channel to get our weekly updates. Have a blessed week.